enjoyed it, and we got to share the word of Jesus with many people. We had a pastor's conference, and about 15 pastors showed up, and we got to minister to them, or the pastors, Brother Tim, Brother Chaz, and Brother Keith all got to share the gospel and kind of help them with their ministering up there. One of my favorite parts was building the relationships with people down there, which last year I didn't get to do as much. It was more of going places and ministering to people. But this year, the place we stayed at, they got to let some of the neighborhood kids in, and we got, it was almost like a youth camp sort of thing to them, and we got to hang out with them and share the gospel and have Bible study and play games and dance. And I really enjoyed this trip a lot, so.
I especially love this trip a lot. I don't really know why I went. I don't know what made me go, but I absolutely loved it. I loved the culture. It was, at first I felt extremely threatened. I don't know, it's just something you could be scared of. But everybody there is actually very nice people. And the scariest part were the dogs, I have to say. I walked up the stairs to a 100-pound Great Dane, and it was pretty freaky. But the people there are always happy to see you. They're always well-spirited, and I just enjoy that the most about this trip.
I'll tell you, I went, you know, this time, the Lord has put on my heart to look for a place to invest in. And I've been on several trips, two. I went to Haiti in 2011. I will tell y'all, when I came home in 2011, and I was asked to talk in my church about it, it was hard for me, because I wanted to tell everybody it was a really bad trip. And it's hard to say that. But I left in 2011 feeling like I viewed someone suffering, and I didn't share in it. And so that trip really set a tone for me to desire to find a place that the Lord called me to share in sufferings with those. And so in 2011 when we left, it was, you can't tell anybody goodbye, they're gonna cry, it's better for you to just get on the bus and leave. And this trip, we saw the kids, and we related with them, and we shared their day. We shared their day. We shared their life. It was not safe. It was not always easy. Some of us were hungry, but we shared. We shared Jesus with them. We shared as brothers in Christ with them. And so instead of sending money to feed them for a year, we went, because what they need is Jesus, and they need their brothers and sisters to encourage them in Christ, that they may not eat today, but that Jesus loves them, and that we do too, and they are part of us. And so we left this year, and there were tears. There was a boy that wouldn't come say goodbye to us. We passed him. I was looking out the window of the car, and he was sitting on the side of the street crying. And it really broke my heart, but I had to tell myself that they don't need me, they need Jesus. And so today, if they miss a meal, I pray that they remember that the Lord loves them and cares for them. And that we, the Blancs, are not their solution. Blancs are not their solution, because we hear it everywhere. Blanc, 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 I'm hungry. Blanc, I'm hungry. And we are not what gives them food for eternal life. Jesus is. So we pray, I'm thankful that the Lord has laid on the heart of Plaquemine that this is a place we can invest into. We can go back year after year and tell them that Jesus loves them and that we love them too. And they are our brothers in Christ. And so thank you, church, for the opportunity to go. I thank you for praying for us. It's not easy sometimes, and it's scary. So I know that with your encouragement, that's how we got there. And just thank you for being our brothers and supporting us in that too.
Thank you, Dixie, and thank you, church, for letting us go. May I encourage you to get on the team next year, because team's going back next year, especially after we got there this year and the kids were in the street. Keith's here, Keith's here, Keith's here. They were so excited Keith was back. One of the little boys, last year I bought checker games to them, the Dollar Tree checker games. He pulled out his checker pieces out of his pocket. He still had his checker pieces. And I was so glad that Dixie broke down, because when we got back in, seven of us chose to take that vehicle back to ride that instead of riding the plane Thursday. And at supper Thursday, one of the girls from California, she totally broke down at supper. And I was like, oh, it's okay, Sherry. Well, I waited to break down when I got home Friday night, because we left those precious people there. They became our friends. Let me tell you one of the lunch stories. Rick and I, we were with missionaries. We were with a team that, you know, they were providing us our food. We got food. So Rick and I were sitting there eating our lunch, and Deus came and sat with us, and we didn't like the plantain. So we said, here, Deus, you want this? And he took them and just inhaled them. And I guess Rick and I, at the same time, realized, oh my God, he's hungry. Rick and I both, I've had enough of your day, you should take our plates. So he got that lunch. That happened the whole trip. And for me, it was physical and the mental really took its toll on me this time. It was really hard. Poor to pay, it's hard to live, it's hard to survive. There's no food, there's no work. These kids waited 51 weeks for us to come back. And I can promise you, they're counting down the weeks till we get back next year. There was such, the men, y'all would be so proud of your team. On Sunday, last Sunday, they were doing music in for the Haitian service. Brother Keith sang Haitian songs. He learned the Haitian, the Creole, and sang the songs. We worked in clinic. We mudded out, Jay. The mud was gone, but the Cloroxing had to be done. We had to go buy the supplies, which was tough. We bought Haitian Bibles then, the Creole Bibles. And the big story I didn't learn about till we got to the airport. He didn't get to mud out. He went swimming in the pretty little boat. So when we got back, we yelled at him, you can come in now, it's finished. So he was swimming with the kids in that cool little boat that looks like it belongs on the Sea of Galilee. So I think it was the next day, he and the boys went out in the boat again. But then we were all worried. There was this big Haitian man yelling at him from the shore. I mean, just blasting the boys out. And it's like, did they steal the boat? What happened? What's wrong? Well, Keith had to pay more money. We're white, right? We got to pay more money for whatever. But the end of that story was, and I didn't find out till the end, Keith naturally gave away his Bible the first day of the conference. So second day, I said, here, you take mine. You're going to need it more than me. So when I packed up to leave Thursday, I was like, well, I don't see my Bible. Did I leave it? I don't know. Whatever. Whoever has it, God bless you. So I got at the airport, Chad says, Linnell, your Bible. I said, yeah, I don't know. I think I lost. Somebody must have picked it up. He said, no, that man that was yelling at Keith, he said, you get me a Bible and I'll go to church. And mine was the only Bible they had left. So they're like, well, what would Linnell want us to do? And they gave him the Bible, the Creole Bible. So that man that was blasting him out and the kids should be in church today. So, and this happened time after time. I mean, we could tell you story after story after story, things that happened. It's tough, we left them there, but they're going back next year. So save your money so you can go on that trip, okay? It's a trip of a lifetime that you'll never forget. Thank you for letting us go, and you were well represented, and y'all have something to be proud of. Because Jesus knows we were there.
Don't say they're going back. I heard you say that.
My favorite thing that was said, and I kind of forgot earlier, that was said the entire trip was probably, you aren't going to bring Jesus to Haiti. Jesus is already in me. And that really hit home because you could just see how he has worked through all the missions and all the people and how much they love.
Thank you all very much. I was listening to Linnell's words very carefully because I know it was hard. And she had a hard group to minister to. And but I will tell you, you'll see a picture of a young man with his arm around Linnell. And like she always does, she showed love. And this young man said, he told me the next day, he pulled out his phone. Most people have phones down there. They don't have anything else. They have a phone. And he pulled out his phone and he said, this is my mom. I want you to see my mom. And you know who it was. It was Miss Linnell. Boy, they receive love and they genuinely care for you. And it is an amazing experience to go and see not just a different people, but to see a different body of believers. And one of the things that I learned in Haiti is what Psalm 46:10 tells us, and it just gets reaffirmed. There he is. His name's Dace. In fact, I've been communicating with him since we've gotten back. Psalm 46:10 says this: "Be still and know that I am God." And we, a lot of times we quote and remember that part. I mean, how many of y'all can memorize, "Be still and know that I am God"? You know that Bible verse. But that's only half of the verse. You know that? That's only the first half of the verse. The second half of the verse says, my name will be exalted among the nations. It's not that we just need to sit back and know that He's God. It's that we need to sit back and recognize that He is God and will be made known all through the earth. And I want to encourage you, church, in this. God is bigger than you can ever think or imagine. And you don't have to go to another country to see that. But sometimes when you do leave your own comforts and your own routines, you begin to see things that you may not have remembered so clearly. It started on the way down. And there was a lady on the plane. Who knows how many? She was a flight attendant on the plane. And who knows how many flights that she has taken? Who knows how many flights she's taken? She's taken hundreds of flights down. And she walked by us, and Chaz had a book that he had given me, and I'd set it out on the table tray, and it was called Know the Heretics. And it was about church history, people who have taken church doctrine and who have changed it and changed Jesus to be just one of many gods or a created God. And she looked down at that and down her nose looked at me and said, "Why do you think you're right?" Chaz and I had about a 30-minute conversation with a flight attendant. And it was a conversation where she constantly looked down our nose, her nose at us. And those around us mouths were wide open. Because we would ask her questions like, "Well, why do you think you're right?" And she says, "I think God was made up just to make people happy." And we would ask her questions, "Well, where did you come from? What's the purpose?" She said, "Well, to be nice to people and to live life." Why do you want to be nice to somebody? If you don't believe in God, why would you be nice to anybody? Why wouldn't you be just like every other animal and just live for the next meal? Because that's what animals do. They don't care about the other animals. They'll eat them. You ever been fishing? What do you put on your hook? Another fish. They don't care. We had an awesome opportunity. And at the end of that conversation, I believe we left the lady with this. Just consider. Just consider that you're not right and that there is a God. How does that change things? Because until you can tell me where you came from, and why you are different than every other, all the animals or the chair that I'm sitting in? Then I believe, and she said, well, I believe in science. And I said, well, I believe in science too. I believe science is the everyday proof that God exists because there's order. So if you believe science, then you believe that the universe tends to disorder, not to order. And if evolution is real, then we would be getting more disorder every day. Not that things would come together and prove something. So we had this long conversation. It was, God is bigger than you think. And that lady heard the gospel before we landed in Haiti. When we got there, one of the first things we heard, well, I heard it before we left, what flooding was rampant in the area we were going. And the area where we were is, and John says it this way, Pastor John, who led our group, said it this way. We wanted to go to the poorest country and the poorest area of the country. And when we say that, it's bad. It's bad. And in the poorest area of the poorest country in the world, or at least in our hemisphere, flooding had come and taken away from so many Haitians everything they had. And you know, I looked at John and I said, we know what that's like. I said, many people in our church, their family lost everything. So we know what flooding is like. And we went, and the team, other than the guys out swimming, went and helped take care of a young man who was taking care of his mentally disabled sister. And Linnell won't tell you, but out of her pocket, she bought him a new mattress, which are not cheap down there, because his mattress was used as a flotation device to save everything else he had. God is bigger than you think. He sent people who had dealt with floods down to an area that had flooded. Micah said it just great. He said, and Christy reminded us, we're not bringing Jesus to Haiti. We're just joining in his work. Well said. Sometimes we think, well, and this is what people, and especially first-time mission people think, is I'm going to go down there and I'm going to make a huge difference. And if that's what you think you're going to do on a mission trip, I want to temper your expectations. You don't go to make a huge difference. You go to be a part of what God is doing somewhere. That's what we do. God is bigger, and we think, well, I can go do it. I'm me, after all. Which is a part of God's work. And I was told this, we helped with a graduation at the Christian school down there. We helped with a graduation. And I was playing my guitar for Miss Christie. And we were looking for a place to plug in my guitar so I could play. And I think it was the principal of the school or the administrator of the schools came up. And I said, I'm sorry to cause trouble. I'm just looking for a place to plug in so I can play for Christie. And he said, or he told me, what do you need? And I said, I'm just the guitar player. Because I had so much going on. I'm just the guitar player looking for a place to plug in. And he said, you're a piece. And he said this, he didn't prepare it. He was really kind of short with it. But he said, you're just a piece of the big machine. And that stuck with me to say, this whole trip, I'm just a piece of a greater work that God is doing. Be still and know that I am God. My name will be exalted among the nations, or exalted in the earth. God is moving. And I thought back to Plaquemine. I can't save Plaquemine. I can't do anything great here. You can't either. But we are a piece of God's work in the machine of his kingdom being proclaimed here in Plaquemine. So if you can teach a Sunday school class, or you can feed someone or serve drinks, you're a piece of the machine of God's kingdom work in Plaquemine. Graduates, this morning you're here. I'm glad. And you've been told, and probably over and over, you're embarking on a new journey. You're going to do great things. You've done great things. The world will bow down before you, probably. And I want to tell you, you're a piece, a small piece of God's kingdom work
in this world and wherever you may go to school. And if you don't save the world, it's okay. But what's not okay is not being the part of the body, as Paul alluded to in 1 Corinthians 12, not being the eye or the arm or the leg that you need to be in the kingdom work that he's doing. So graduates, join in the kingdom work. I was so proud of Micah. Do you know Micah paid his own way from his hourly job at Blanchard's to go and minister to people? He wanted to be a part of the machine of God's kingdom working. Very proud of you, Micah. Acts 20:35 says this. Y'all still with me?
Yes,
sir. It's so hard to get out, and as our team shared, it's so hard to get out what is put in, invested into you in a week like this. Church, let me say from the bottom of my heart with deepest sincerity, thank you. Thank you for caring about me, about the team that we sent, and caring about my brothers and sisters and family that are in Haiti. Thank you. Thank you for caring and voting to spend money that we might go and minister to people. Thank you. I want to share a passage I shared to the men before we left, but men, you heard it once, you're going to hear it again from me, Richard, because it means more to me now than it did 3 weeks ago. In all things I have shown you that by, help me out, working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said that it is more blessed to give than to receive. We work hard. There is a lot of hard work that needs to be done down there. There is great need to be done, not only in Haiti, but in Plaquemine. In Haiti, there are orphanages there. A man received a phone call one day. He's minding his own business, raising his family of four kids, and says there's an orphanage and the nun has abandoned it, and there are 16 kids that are starving to death. A man goes and he looks at the kids and he says, I'm taking them home. This is culture. President Obama, President Trump is not going to help them. They're starving to death, and he says, I'll take them. And we went and visited his house. That was in 2012 or 2014. 2014, I think. And those kids are healthy and thriving. We sang with them. One of them, Abby, saw last year and got to go see her again this year and knew her name. And she knew her name. And they know each other now because of what we're doing. And they were able to share relationship and be brothers and sisters in Christ. We were at the pastor's conference, and Brother Tim did such a good job. Love Brother Tim. Brother Chaz, they did such a great job. Brother Tim said this. He was sessional. How do we preach the Bible? What do we do when we're down here with the Bible? And I can tell you, with conversations that I had, I would ask questions about the Bible, and they really didn't know a whole lot. They knew the name of Jesus. And they knew that God was good. And they knew that they were supposed to love Jesus, but they didn't know the Bible. And so Tim said this. At the pastor's conference, Tim said, what I do is I take a book of the Bible. I've been in Matthew, he said. Y'all will like this. I've been in Matthew for 2.5 years. Y'all got it easy, see? Brother Tim said, I've been in Matthew for 2.5 years. And the interpreter, Johnny, who is a believer, who loves the Lord, looked at him and went, with a look of shock and awe. And Brother Tim said, because when I do that, I can't skip over any of the hard stuff. I can't just give pleasant messages every time. I give the whole testimony of what the author intended. And the interpreter looked and went, That's such a good idea. I can't... Yes! Teaching the scripture. Learning who God is through the complete testimony of his word as given by a book of the Bible, by the author, the way it was intended. There are things that the need is there. At the pastor's conference, I told you I'd tell you a story about my tie. You probably saw some of the pictures. There were some young men with bow ties. They were deacons in their church. Loved the Lord. Young men in their early 20s, but wanted to come to the pastor's conference to learn. And the first day, it was 2 days. The first day I told them, I said, man, I really like y'all's ties. And it was three young men, and they came dressed up. I said, I love y'all's ties. The next day, guy walked up to me with a little piece of paper, and on the outside of the piece of paper it said, for you, Keith. And I took it, and I opened it, and this was in it. He had given me his tie. And here's a man who doesn't have anything, and yet he's given to the Blanc, the white man, what he had. The need is great, but you know what? There's a great need in me, too. There's a great need in me. And God is working in me. And he's working in us. Linnell told you the story of Ronald and the Bible, and I have a picture of him. He joined us for Bible study the last night. And he held that Bible, and I don't know, I'll show you the picture if I can near at the end, but he had that Bible drawn to him. We studied the Bible, and he was listening. He sat down next to us, and we're doing Bible study with some of the teenagers there and going through Ephesians 5:1, which I read during our Lord's Supper. And he turned, and he looked, and he said, if you give me one of those, I'm going to go to church. And so I took Linnell's Bible, knowing that Linnell would give him the shoes off of her feet, and said, this is yours. And I said, but I'll only give it to you on one condition. I said, you have to read it. And he said, oh, I'm going to read it. After hearing God's word, after hearing what it said, he wanted more. The need is still great. And the work is hard. Linnell came to me one day and she said, I've given out. This was hard. This day was hard. And look, I don't want to sensationalize and say everything was great down there. It was a great trip. But it was a hard trip. And you are sweating. And when you go into your room at night to relax, we had a fan blowing on us. It was a fan. So we had 80-degree wind blowing on us all night, while mosquitoes were pecking at our face. Yeah, I look like a teenager with acne. I got mosquito bites all over my body because we had a hole in our screen. One of the other things, the need is great. I gave three young men who were with us Bibles, and I told them, I commissioned them, and I said, you young men, well, they were older than a lot of the other young men that were with us on the trip. I said, Pasteur Petit-U, that you are pastors, small pastors. You are pastors that are in training, and you need to train on these younger men that are hanging out with you. You take this Bible, and you do what we've done every night. We've studied this Bible together. You go, you read it, and you explain it to them. So we left down there. We left Bibles and many pastors, young pastors, to share the word. And all these things I have shown you, Acts 20:35 says, by working hard. And I can tell you, getting up at 7:15 and finally having all the Haitians leave at around 11 was hard. You don't stop, because I want to take advantage of every minute down there to teach the word of God. Working hard. So let's bring this back to Plaquemine. Friends, there are great needs right around us. There are great needs with people who come to church every week but don't know God's word. like they need to. There is hard work in ministry. Jesus did not call us to a life of luxury, but to a life of sacrifice, as we see in Ephesians 5:2. But walk in love as Jesus walked. As Jesus walked, walk in love. And he gave himself as a sacrifice and a fragrant offering to God. And let me close by saying this. The work is not over. And as Linnell mentioned, we need to go back next year. We found a place, we found a people, we found a work that is being done, but we need to go back. We need to continue the work we're doing. I do not want to be the people who come, who snap a picture, and then walk away. I want to be a group of people who comes and snaps a picture, because next time I come, I'm going to remember who I took a picture of. I'm going to find you. I'm going to see if you're making progress, and then I'm going to pour into you next year. Church, I ask for you to prayerfully consider continuing to support the work that we will be doing through our missions offering and our missions fund, and through your personal sacrifices, which I know, and I look out and I see faces who gave money and prayers and time and effort into this trip. And even though you weren't on Haitian soil, you were there. But I pray that you will continue the work with us. The pastors feverishly take notes at the conference. When the door opens and the orphans that we saw last year see us again, their arms go in the air and they run and embrace, because they've seen the love of Jesus and they've heard the word of God. Young men with fungus on their head get medicine to try to alleviate those things because we go. The churches need the clarity of the teaching of Scripture. We talked about the Trinity. Who is God? There is such a blending, a syncretism of voodoo and Jesus in this culture. And do whatever you have to do to survive the next day mentality. That they need to see and know the nature of who God is, and we need to continue bringing that. And all these things I have shown you, that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Final thing I'll share with you this morning, one of the passages that I tried to teach, I tried to take one passage and make it known down there. It was the passage that Jamil read for us. And I tried to show with the young man I was with all week and with Ronel. And I would walk up to them every time I would see them. And I would say, Premier commandment, which means, what's the first commandment? What's the great commandment? And they would say, Reme bon Dieu ap tout keu. And that is, love the Lord with all your heart. And I would say, Commandement deuxième, which means the second commandment. And they would say, Reme tout moun, which means, and love everyone, every man. And every time and every day I would see them, and I would point at them and ask them the commands. They would say it. Haitian men know that the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. This is a great truth that comes from you. And so I ask that we continue the work, but I ask that we also continue the work right here. And that everyone in our own city would know that the greatest command is to love God with all of our heart and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Would you join in that work with me? Would you join in that work with this church as we endeavor to do that? Let's pray together. Oh God, thank you for being our God and for revealing yourself to us. And may your work not be in vain in us. Lord, give us the strength to work hard, knowing it is more blessed to give than to receive. May we give of ourselves that you might receive glory and honor, that they might know the one true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.